السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آج میں
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz, Tasmiyah, and Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayyadullah Ta'ala bin Nasir al-Aziz, said, Today I will mention two servants of the Jamaat who passed away recently, one being Mr. Bashir Ahmed Rafi Khan Sahib. The second is Dr. Nusrat Jahan, who is the gynecologist for the Fazl-e Umar Hospital. Each person who has set foot on this earth must one day depart from here. However, blessed are those individuals who have the opportunity to serve their faith as well as serving humanity. Bashir Rafi Khan Sahib was a long-standing servant and missionary of the community. He was assigned to a number of posts in the community. He fulfilled all his responsibilities in the best manner, and on 11th of October 2016, he passed away in London at the age of 85. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajoon. Surely to Allah we belong, and to him shall we return. He completed his BA, Bachelor of Arts, from the Punjab University, then completed his Shahid Jamia degree from Jamiat al-Mubashireen in 1958. He belonged to an old established Ahmadi family. His mother's name was Fatima Bibi, the eldest daughter of Hazrat Maulvi Muhammad Ilyas Khan Sahib, a companion of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. His father's name was Danishmand Khan, who was born around 1890. He was a man who received true revelations and dreams. Bashir Rafi Khan Sahib was an Ahmadi by birth. His father accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1921, upon which the people of his village boycotted him. With reference to his father, Hazrat Khaliftul Masih Rabi Rahimahullah once wrote to Bashir Khan Sahib stating, Your letter always reminds me of your eminent father and draws my attention towards praying for him. There were no contradictions between his statements and his actions, and he was an embodiment of purity and honesty. These are the attributes which befit the dignity of an Ahmadi and a believer. He writes, I had a deep bond with him and would always express this through prayers. May God Almighty shower His intimate mercy upon him and enable his progeny to become his true heirs. He married in 1956 to Sunima Nai Sahiba, who was the daughter of Abdurrahman Khan Sahib. He was the son of a companion of the Promised Messiah, Khan Amirullah Khan Sahib. She bore three sons and three daughters. In 1945, Bashir Rafi Khan Sahib was enrolled into Talim al-Islam High School in Qadian at the age of 14. At that time, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu delivered a sermon in which he urged the Ahmadi youth to dedicate their lives for the service of the Jamaat. As soon as the sermon concluded, many youths presented their names for this scheme. Khan Sahib was also amongst those blessed individuals. At that time, a systematic organization, as is the case now, was not in place, and a personal letter from Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu was sent, in which it was written that his application to devote his life in the service of the community had been accepted. Until the partition in 1947, he continued his studies in Qadian. After completing his matriculation examinations, or perhaps a short while before the partition, he left for his hometown. Having gained admission into college, one day he unexpectedly received a letter from the private secretary stating that Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu has requested to inquire about a student of Pathan origin studying in Qadian, who dedicated his life, but there was no mention of his name. As there was no record present in Rabwah, or was lost due to the partition, you must inquire as to the identity of that student in Qadian who was present in 1945 and dedicated his life for the service of the Jamaat. Coincidentally, the letter arrived at his house and he wrote back saying, I am that very student. Upon this, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu ordered him to report to Rabwah immediately and apply for admission at the Talim al-Islam College in Lahore and study towards a BA. At that time, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III rahimahullah was the principal of the college. Bashir Rafiq Sahib states, In 1953, whilst we were busy preparing for our examinations, the anti-Ahmadiyya riots broke out, and during those disturbances I sat my exams, and was extremely disappointed at the results, owing to the fact that I had failed. He continues by saying, I was also perturbed by the fact that if I was to fail, then why had God Almighty shown me the forthcoming paper before sitting the exam, and the very same paper had appeared? Also, that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani Raziyallahu Anhu had assured me with great conviction that I would pass. He states, At this point my faith began to waver. The results were published in the newspaper. I sat down and was deeply distraught. My father inquired as to why I was upset, to which I informed him of the reason. He said, Do not worry, you can resit the examination. Besides, you were probably unable to prepare properly for the exams owing to the riots in the Punjab. After a few days had passed, his father said to him, Whenever I pray for you, I hear a voice which says, Bashir Ahmed has already passed. But when he would show him the results, he would remain silent. He states, After a few days, his father said, I am still receiving the answer that you have passed. He says, One day, we unexpectedly received a high volume of letters. Amongst the letters, there was one from the university. When I opened it, I was amazed. The university stated that they had failed me in error, Having rechecked the papers, I had in fact passed. He says, a few days later, I presented myself before Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Thani radiallahu anhu and explained the whole incident to Hazur. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Thani radiallahu anhu replied, I had already told you that after praying, I had been informed that you would pass, and I relayed all this to you, that you would pass. Hence, this result clearly demonstrates that nobody can defer a divine scheme. God had already made his decision. It would have been a point of ridicule that God Almighty is informing Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Thani radiallahu anhu and his father of one thing, and the result is contrary to it. In the end, only that which God Almighty had already decreed proved to be true. After this, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu instructed him to join Jamia Ahmadiyya and obtain the Shahid degree. He said, it is my wish to send you for missionary work in propagating the message. He, Bashir Rafiq Sahib, states, our class in Jamia had the honor of occasional visits from Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Thani radiallahu anhu, who graced us with his presence and advised us on the methods to specialize in various fields of knowledge. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Thani radiallahu anhu specially advised that every student should build his own library and should inculcate in themselves a habit of purchasing books. This is something that every Jamia student should adhere to. Today, throughout the world, there are various Jamiat as well as numerous people who have dedicated their lives. They should build their own libraries. Recently, there was a meeting with all the missionaries in London. I informed them that every missionary should have a personal library and not solely rely on the official library of the Jamaat. He, Bashir Rafiq Sahib, says, when I completed my studies from Jamiatul Mubashireen and obtained my Shahid degree, I went to Vakalat-e-Tabshir, Office for Foreign Missions. Mr. Mirza Mubarak Ahmed Sahib was Vakil-e-Tabshir at that time. He took me to see Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Thani radiallahu anhu, who said to send me to England. Then Vakil-e-Tabshir took me to prepare my departure for England. He met with Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Thani radiallahu anhu and wrote down detailed instructions and directives. He gave him his blessings and prayers, then hugged him before his departure. He was sent to England in 1959 on official assignment and served as the Deputy Imam of Fazl Mosque in London. He says, when I departed for England in 1959, one day I went to meet Mulana Jalaluddin Shams Sahib and requested him for some advice. Mulana Jalaluddin Shams Sahib also served for a long time in London as the Imam of the Fazl Mosque. After highlighting various aspects, he said, there is one advice I will give to you which has benefited me greatly in my life. He said, I was serving in Syria. Shams Sahib narrated, I was serving as a missionary in Syria. Through me, a member of a wealthy family, Munirul Husni Sahib, accepted Ahmadiyyat. He was an established and devout Ahmadi. It was after this incident that the Jamaat spread in Syria. He states, as each day would pass, his, i.e. Munirul Husni's, passion and desire to serve the faith intensified. Every day after Asr prayers, Munirul Husni Sahib would come to the mission house. In those days, there was a mission house in Syria as there was no restrictions. He would insist on cooking for me and would prepare the meals with great enthusiasm. Then, in the evening, we would eat together. One day, when we sat down to eat, I said to Munirul Husni Sahib that there is too much salt in the curry today. Please avoid this in future. Munirul Husni Sahib remained quiet for a while, then said, Mulana Sahib, you are well aware that at home I have many servants to do my chores for me. He was quite a wealthy gentleman. To the extent that when I returned home in the evenings, a servant of mine opens my shoelaces. In my home, I have never had to make even a cup of tea for myself. If I come here to cook, I do so solely to gain the pleasure of God Almighty. Otherwise, what business do I have cooking curry? Therefore, if there is shortcoming in the masala mixture, please forgive me, as preparing food is not my job. After narrating this incident, Mulana Shams Sahib said, "From this incident, I learnt that the treatment we receive, i.e., the assistance the people are happy to offer us, missionaries, is not due to us within our own right. In fact, they do it to gain the pleasure of God and out of love for the Ahmadiyya community. Therefore, we should always bear in mind that however much anyone serves us, it is a kindness on their part. If they commit an error in this regard, we have no right to question them or to scold them." Nevertheless, from the very outset, and even up until now, there have been countless individuals bestowed to the community of the Prophet Messiah, ingrained with unusual amounts of loyalty. He, i.e. Bashir Rafiq Sahib, continues to say that in 1964, Mr. Chaudhry Rehmat Khan Sahib, who was the Imam of the London Mosque, returned due to illness. Consequently, he was appointed as the Imam of the London Mosque. In 1960, Bashir Rafiq Sahib launched a magazine in the English language called the Muslim Herald. Initially, it consisted of 10 pages. He was the editor and had to do everything else associated with it. Owing to the scheme launched by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib radiallahu anhu, he started a fortnightly magazine in 1962 by the name The Ahmadiyya Periodical. Bashir Rafiq Sahib says that he was the one who launched the magazine and had the opportunity to serve as its editor for a long period, as well as write various articles for it. He was a well-versed scholarly personality. He also had the opportunity to work for the Review of Religions, the magazine launched by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. From 1967, throughout the period of his Khilafat, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Salis, rahimahullah, toured Europe 8 times. Mulana Bashir Rafiq Sahib accompanied him as part of his entourage on 7 occasions. On 2 of the tours, he had the opportunity to serve as the private secretary. In 1970, he returned to Pakistan and served as the private secretary to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Salis, rahimahullah. In 1971, he came back to London as the Imam of the London Mosque and continued with all his previous duties. In 1976, he served as the private secretary to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Salis rahimahullah on his tour to USA and Canada. In May of 1978, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Salis rahimahullah came to London for the International Conference of Jesus' Deliverance from the Cross. To organize the event and see it through to the end, Majlis Amla UK, the organizational body of the UK Jamaat, and the conference committee worked around the clock, exhibiting an outstanding model of teamwork under his supervision. He served as Imam of the Fazl Mosque London from 1964 to 70 and from 1971 to 79. He was the founder and editor of the Muslim Herald magazine from 1961 to 1979 and as private secretary to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Salis Rahimullah from 1970 to 71. In November 1985, he served as Wakil-e-Divan in Tehreek-e-Jadid until 1987, Wakil-e-Tasnif Rabwa from 1982 to 85, additional Wakil-e-Tafsir Rabwa from 1983 to 84, additional Wakil-e-Tasnif London from 1987 to 1997. He served as the editor of the Review of Religions from 1983 to 85, chairman Board of Review of Religions from 1988 to 1995, member of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya Pakistan, 1971 to 1985, member of the Iftar Committee from 1971 to 73, member of the Qaza Board from 1984 to 87. Similarly, he held official posts in external organizations. He was a member and vice president of the Rotary Club in Wandsworth. Then he was later appointed as the president of the Rotary Club. In 1968, he was officially invited by the president of Liberia, Mr. William Tubman, as a special guest and was given the role as an honorary chief. His son writes that he would offer his tahajjud prayers regularly and would pray with great dedication to the extent that he would write down all the names he wanted to pray for in case he forgot anyone. He would constantly invoke blessings on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and always explain to us the significance of giving chanda. His brother Colonel Nazir writes an incident that when Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani radiallahu anhu called him, i.e. Bashir Rafiq Sahib, he had gained admission to law school. When the letter of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani radiallahu anhu arrived addressed to my father to send him, he said that he can serve the Jamaat better by pursuing law. In reply to this, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani radiallahu anhu wrote, "We need religious lawyers, not worldly ones. Whatever status, wealth, and fame he wishes to attain in the world, God Almighty will grant him through the blessings of devoting one's life." When my father gave this letter to my brother, he read it through, and without saying a word, he packed his bags and left for Rabwa. Observe how God Almighty fulfilled these exact words. Had he become a lawyer, he would have been one on a worldly level. Instead, he received worldly accolades, as well as having the opportunity to serve his faith. His brother writes, "Whatever Khalifa Sani radiallahu anhu stated came true. Through the blessings of devoting his life, he received honor, recognition, and distinction. Through the grace of Allah, he lived an all-round complete life." He was extremely loyal to Khilafat. He suffered from a serious heart condition for a prolonged period of time and underwent surgery. On one occasion, his situation became extremely precarious, with little hope, but Allah the Almighty granted him another life. He also experienced a lot of weakness due to this illness. However, he not only regularly wrote to me expressing his loyalty and devotion, in fact, whenever he would come to learn of my attendance in a function, he would always come, whether it be with the aid of a walker or by any other means. I saw that despite his weakness, he would always attend the Friday prayers and would come by foot. May Allah the Almighty treat him with mercy and forgiveness and elevate his rank. May God enable his progeny to also maintain a relationship of devotion and loyalty with the community and enable them to follow in his footsteps. The second person I shall mention is respected Dr. Nusrat Jahan Malik Sahiba, who is the daughter of Hazrat Mulana Abdul Malik Khan Sahib. She passed away on 11th of October 2016 in London. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. Although she lived in Rabwa, she was a British national, and would come every year in order to continually build upon her expertise at various hospitals. She had been unwell for some time, and was receiving treatment here. After Jalsa Salana UK, she developed a chest infection, which continued to spread, and as a result, her lungs stopped functioning. However, God Almighty blessed her, and she had begun to recover, and the doctors also became hopeful, but there was also a danger that if the infection recurred, then survival would be extremely challenging. However, as per the decree of God Almighty, she once again suffered an attack due to an infection, and passed away within a few hours after the illness. She was born on 15th of October 1951 in Karachi. Dr. Nusrat Jahan Sahib's father, respected Maulana Abdul Malik Khan Sahib, was a long-standing servant of the community. He was a son of Hazrat Khan Zulfiqar Ali Khan Sahib, and her ancestors were from Najibabad in the district of Bijnur, situated in UP. Dr. Nusrat Jahan Sahib's grandfather took Bayat, Pledge of Initiation of the Promised Messiah in 1900 through a letter, and later in 1903 had the honor of meeting the Promised Messiah al-Islam in person. According to the wish of the Promised Messiah al-Islam that he should dedicate his son for the service of faith, Hazrat Maulana Khan Zulfiqar Ali Khan Sahib Gohar dedicated the life of Maulana Abdul Malik Khan Sahib right from his childhood, even though he was born much later in 1911. After entering Madrasa Ahmadiyya, Maulana Abdul Malik Khan Sahib did his Maulvi Fazl, i.e. religious scholar examination, from the Punjab University in 1932. After this, he found a very good employment, but Maulvi Abdul Malik Khan Sahib's father wrote to him saying that he did not educate him so he should pursue worldly affairs. Rather, there should be some who should pursue after their faith. Upon receiving the letter, Maulvi Abdul Malik Khan Sahib immediately handed in his resignation and returned to Qadian and started attending classes for the missionaries. It was this very passion of devotion and loyalty that was also to be found in Dr. Nusrat Jahan Sahib. She completed her MBBS in Pakistan and then did her specialization in the UK. She could have gone anywhere and would have been able to earn hundreds of thousands of rupees, but she chose to settle in a small city of Rabwa in order to serve her faith and mankind. At the time, there was also a need in the hospital which she fulfilled, and then went on to spend her whole life offering her services with a spirit of selflessness, a service that was of a remarkable standard. Many people have expressed their sentiments to me, and it would be difficult to mention them all. However, I shall mention a few of them later on. She only has one daughter, Aisha Nudrat, who currently resides in the UK with a husband and three children. As I mentioned earlier that Dr. Sahiba completed her MBBS studies from Fatima Jinnah Medical College in Pakistan, and then she did her RCOG specialization in England at the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She formally began her services in 1985 at the Fazli Umar Hospital, and from 20th of April 1985 until now, she continued to render her services. As I mentioned earlier, she was unwell and had a problem in her liver, and so she took leave and came to London on 5th of April. She was undergoing treatment, and by the grace of Allah the Almighty, her treatment was successful. But after the Jalsa, she got a chest infection, and from that it seemed as if her end was nigh. But then there was a sudden attack of infection again, and she passed away shortly after. Her son-in-law, Maqbool Mubashir Sahib, says, "She had an extraordinary trust in God Almighty, and a great passion for worship, and loved the Holy Quran. She had a deep bond with Khilafat, and among her first and foremost priorities were to show obedience to Khilafat, service to mankind, and providing care to her patients with complete contentment of heart. I have also personally witnessed all of these traits which he has mentioned, and there is no exaggeration in this whatsoever. All these qualities were truly found in her. Before every surgery and treatment, she would pray, and would daily give sadaqah, alms. She would request the elders in Rabwa to pray for the good health of her patients. She would pay from her own pocket to cover the treatment of those patients who were extremely poor, or get her close friends to cover the cost. She took painstaking care of Jamaat's money and would always try to ensure that she spent as little money as possible, and so that not a single rupee of the Jamaat was wasted. He further states, I used to work in a private hospital in Lahore, and she would ask me from which company and the price at which I obtained such and such items. Similarly, in the case of medicines, she would ask the same. Thereafter, if she found it to be reasonable, she would purchase them for those companies at a lower price for Fazlul Umar Hospital. She loved her parents dearly and also served them. Her mother was ill for quite some time, but despite this, she served her greatly. She fulfilled her other duties as well as serving her mother. She also bore her own illness in her final days with great strength. She spent almost 2 months in hospital during her last illness and would always ask for the Tilawat recitation of the Holy Quran to be recited to her. Even at home, she would stress on Tilawat. She would be extremely happy and would give out rewards and give prayers whenever she saw children doing anything good or saw them reciting the Quran. Mubashir Sahib states, When our daughter turned 12, she spoke to her about covering her head and about parda, and with reference to Hazrat Ammajan and various other elders, she would cite examples or incidents which, although were small matters, but extremely significant. She too always adhered to parda. Thus, if parents and the elders continue to advise their children in this way, then the reluctance girls have in wearing the hijab, the head covering, would no longer remain. In fact, they would gain courage. Dr. Nusrat Majokha Sahiba from Fazlul Umar Hospital says, I knew Dr. Nusrat Jahan Sahiba for the last 18 years, and straight after finishing my house job, I became a part of the gynecology department in Fazlul Umar Hospital. All my professional training was completed by Dr. Sahiba. She was a highly competent teacher, and we were able to seek guidance from her in all aspects of life. She was very strong and a highly accomplished individual, and God Almighty had endowed her with extraordinary abilities. She was an obedient and sympathetic daughter, and also a compassionate mother. She was a disciplined teacher and a very caring and consoling friend. She further adds, Her whole life was full of sacrifices, and she gave precedence to the service of the Jamaat over her personal life. Her priorities were very different from that of an average person. She would say that she has two children. One is her daughter, and the other is her profession. She was always looking for ways to improve the gynecology department, and would be ever ready to take care of patients, particularly those who were serving the Jamaat, and were not so well off. She would repeatedly phone them if any of their wives were unwell and inquire about their health. She was extremely loving to the members of her staff. If they ever had to work longer than usual due to a patient, she would arrange for food to be sent to them from her own home. She would always try and help them in times of difficulty. Everyone has written about her strong attachment with Khilafat, and this indeed was the reality. She had an extraordinary bond with Khilafat. She further states, Since last year, she included me in everything and in every important issue. She even taught me the various surgical procedures in gynecology, and would say that she had very little time left. At the time, I never paid attention to what she meant by this, because she was very active. However, after her demise, I now realize that she had some insights of her illness. She also states, She, i.e. Dr. Nusrat, has now departed from us, but bequeathed countless favors for the people of Rabbah. And so every eye is tearful and every heart is sorrowful. I have received many letters and they all have truly depicted the reality. Dr. Amitul Hay, who has recently gone to work in a hospital in Ghana, writes, My initial training was also done by Dr. Nusrat Jahan. And when I went to Ghana, She was constantly in touch with me through WhatsApp and email. She would happily reply to me and guide me if I ever faced any difficulty in gynecology, and would tell me to write to Huzoor for prayers at times of difficulty. She further adds, "When I used to work with Dr. Saiba, she would pay attention to even the smallest details. I remember that whenever she noticed that an extra light was left turned on, she would immediately turn it off so that Jamaat's money would not go to waste for no reason. She would also draw attention to married couples and keeping their marriage intact. She would say that blood relations can never break, but the relationship between a husband and a wife is one of love and affection, and if that no longer exists, then nothing is left. This is a very good advice she has given, and all couples should follow this." She further states, "Recently, before her illness and before being admitted to hospital in London, she phoned me and said that a new gynecology theater has been built, and I do not know whether I will be able to go and see it or not." She mentioned this to me as well. Or she said that it may take her a while before she returns, therefore the Nazir Allah should open it, and I have told him that the work of the Jamaat cannot be stopped because of any individual. Dr. Nuri Sahib, who is the in charge of Tahirat Institute in Rabwa, says, "I have had the opportunity to work with respected Dr. Nusrat Jahan Sahiba for over 9 years in the Zubaydah Bani wing of Fazl-e Umar Hospital and the Tahirat Institute. She had certain qualities which are found in very few doctors today. She was a very pious lady who was always engaged in supplication. She possessed high qualities, feared God Almighty, she prayed for her patients and observed the parda by paying attention to the most minute details. She had a very broad knowledge of the Holy Quran and followed the example of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. She came to the UK for her education and after that visited various hospitals here in order to further her knowledge, but she always observed the parda wearing a niqab, form of head covering, and wore the complete burqa, a long coat, and never had any kind of complex. She did all her work while observing parda. Therefore, she is a model for those girls who give the excuse that they cannot work while in parda." He further states, "She was an expert in her field and was aware of all the latest technical developments. She would work by widening her knowledge according to the latest techniques and practices. When at work, she never cared about the time and never took extra advantage from the facilities provided. She would sacrifice her holidays for the sake of critically ill patients and would work for 12 hours a day." He states, "I remember that once she worked all night on a complicated case of delivery. She would take her time and inform the patients of all the possible options. Hence, patients had a lot of trust in her. She strictly followed all the rules and regulations and procedures, and she fulfilled her duty with great trust. During her time, people often would say that she was very strict, and they would also write to me. But if she was strict, then that was because of her adherence to the rules in place. However, she was very soft-hearted. Her generosity and sympathy was among her attributes." Dr. Nuri Sahib writes, "A very elderly lady who was admitted to Tahirat Institute has narrated an incident. She says that once Dr. Saiba finished work and was leaving home in her car, when she saw me on Aksa Road near the hospital, she stopped the car and placed her hand on the back of my neck and inquired about my illness with great care and prescribed me medication and then left for her home. Her ability to express herself was excellent. Her father, Maulana Abdul Malik Khan Sahib, was also an outstanding orator. Fauzia Shamim Sahiba, who is a Sadr Lajna of Lahore, told Nuri Sahib that whenever she was invited to address the Lajna members of Lahore, her personality and speech would leave a deep impression on everyone present. The central theme of her speech would be Ahmadiyyat, Khilafat, and the blessings of God Almighty, and when she spoke, one could see glimpses of her late father, Maulana Abdul Malik Khan Sahib. She had a relationship of great loyalty and devotion with Khilafat. During meetings, seminars, and even while on her rounds in the wards, she would speak about various instructions of the Khalifa. Her love for Khilafat was not just limited to her speech alone, but was evident in her practice also. She truly was a role model. Dr. Muhammad Ahmad Ashraf Sahib writes, God Almighty had gifted her with great wisdom and foresight. Sometimes she would delay the procedure while treating a patient, and later her decision would prove to be the right one. She had extremely good organization skills and had complete command over her department. She adhered to the rules and would firmly express her standpoint. It was her habit to fully investigate any issues and then draw lessons from them for future. While she had a great presence and authority in matters of administration, she was very loving with her staff members, and whether it be occasions of happiness or sadness, she would take full part in them. Her sympathy and passion was not just limited to relatives, neighbors, staff members in the hospital. In fact, we noticed that the family members of the staff and patients benefited from it too. She would help the needy with an open heart, and in view of their sense of self-respect and honor, she would do this without letting anyone know. Dr. Saib further states, she would keep a record of all the important issues. Dr. Saib says, according to my knowledge, under her supervision, the gynecology department's records are one of the best and most comprehensive. Fazail Ayaz Sahib, who is a missionary, wrote the following. She was immensely compassionate and caring. In 1989, while I was serving at Jamia Ahmadiyya Rabwa, I moved here along with my wife and daughter. When the esteemed doctor started our medical treatment, it was regarding the birth of a child or some other issue. In any case, she was very kind, benevolent, and sympathetic throughout the treatment. My wife, due to her being the wife of a life devotee missionary, as well as my children, always received exceptional kindness and love from her. He further says, we have four children, three daughters and a son, who were all born at Fazlul Umar Hospital. I always found her to be worried about the health of my children and their mother more than myself. When we were blessed with four daughters, on one occasion the third daughter, perhaps he has four daughters and a son, he says, once my third daughter, who was only 4 years old at the time, went to her house and said to her, please get a brother for us as well. Upon hearing this, Dr. Saiba showed much affection to her and said, pray to Allah that he may grant you a brother. Later, when my wife was expecting again, she prayed herself, wrote to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, and also used to request every visitor to pray for my wife. Eventually, Allah bestowed His grace, and when a son was born, she came to our house and took my daughter to the hospital and said, look, Allah the Almighty has granted you a brother. Then she dropped my wife home in her own car. Non-Ahmadi patients also used to visit her in abundance. She narrated an incident herself that on one occasion a non-Ahmadi cleric from Chinyot came to see her. His wife was unable to conceive. After the treatment by the esteemed doctor, Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace, and she fell pregnant. She said, since the cleric will now be under my control for at least 9 months, I can preach to him freely. She was not fearful of anyone or anything. Tahir Nadeem Saab, who works in the Arabic desk, says that the esteemed doctor used to rely on prayers more than on medicine. I migrated to London while my wife was still back at home and was due for an operation. At the time, she was faced with a critical situation. Dr. Saiba told me herself that at that moment, I profusely cried before God Almighty and prayed, O Allah, She is the wife of a devotee of life. Her husband has gone away to serve your faith. Bestow your grace. Thus, after some time, Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace, and the bleeding stopped completely, due to which a surgical intervention was no longer necessary. Regarding her attribute of hospitality, Dr. Nadeem Sahib writes, some Arab guests came for the recording of the program Al-Hiwar al-Mubashir and were staying at the number 53 guest house in London. She was also staying there at the time. Once she was preparing parathas, a flatbread with butter, in the kitchen along with her daughter, and said that these Arabs have come here and you are participating in the Hiwar program. It is my desire to make parathas with my own hands and serve them to all of you who are serving the faith, and thus I will also partake of the reward of this jihad. Mubashir Ayaz Sahib, who is the principal at our Jamia in Rabwa, writes about her being spirited and her parda that this esteemed doctor of ours, dressed in her niqab, adorned with the perfect form of parda, and will be seen marching like a soldier. She was a perfect role model for those women who consider parda to be an impediment. She used to work all day long and was very active, yet never demonstrated any sign of tiredness. Dr. Sultan Mubashir Sahib says that we used to reside at the quarters of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya, and so did she. In those days, the environment of Rabwa was such that we used to visit each other's houses without any hesitance. He, i.e. Dr. Sultan Mubashir Sahib, is the son of Dost Muhammad Shahid Sahib, who was a friend of Abdul Malik Khan Sahib. As Abdul Malik Khan Sahib did not have any sons there, Dost Muhammad Shahid Sahib instructed his son to regularly visit their house, inquire if they needed anything, and if so, for him to buy it from the shops, and to assist them in this regard. Due to this, there existed a frankness between them, and he used to visit their house often. He further says that later there was the professional acquaintance with her as a physician. I would often discuss things with her. We worked as colleagues at the hospital. Even if I performed the smallest of service for her, she demonstrated immense gratefulness, and after having thanked me countless times, she would give gifts, etc., to my children, my wife, and myself. The gynecology department at the Fazli Umar Hospital, which was her department, wrote, she used to visit England every year to familiarize herself with the arising needs and to learn modern medical procedures. There she used to acquire new medical equipment with the help of various friends. She used to come at her own expense and not at Jamaat's expense. They further write, she recently took active part in the construction of the new Zubaydah Bani Wing. However, she did not have the opportunity to work there. Nevertheless, may Allah the Almighty enable the present physicians to utilize it in the appropriate manner. They further write, in short, the department started to take its current shape from just one room. The gynecology department at Fazli Umar Hospital used to consist of just one room. Now it has developed into a complete new wing. The competence, unceasing hard work and passion of Dr. Nusrat Jahan has played a great role in this. Jamila Sahiba, a member of her nursing staff, writes, we are deeply saddened at the demise of the esteemed doctor. She was a very competent and well-mannered physician. She very much cared for all of us. She used to love us like her own children and took great care of us. Whenever a poor patient visited her, she would reimburse the prescription fees and even provide the medication herself. Musarrat Sahiba, who is another member of the nursing staff, writes, she was an excellent, benevolent teacher and highly ranked expert physician. I have worked for a period of almost 31 years under her supervision. She was very loving, extremely conscious of the sentiments of others. She was supportive at every difficult hour, sympathetic to adults and kind to children. She would treat patients with extreme affection and share their pain. She used to teach all the staff members to serve mankind and to exhibit good manners. She used to be at the forefront in complying with the instructions of the Khalifa of the time. A patient of hers writes, "Once she was treating me, and due to my being a wife of a life devotee, she was working very diligently. An ultrasound scan was required, and she asked one of her assistants to accompany me for the scan. There was a lot of rush at that time. There was a chair on which a poor lady was sat. As the assistant was sent by the doctor, she tried to remove the lady from the chair so that I could occupy it. When she was about to do so, suddenly there was a voice from behind saying, 'Stop, do not sit on that chair, take this one instead.' As we looked, we saw that the esteemed doctor was bringing a chair herself, so that the poor patient did not feel that she had been unduly removed, since patients are all equal. However, on the other hand, when she looked at the condition of the other patient, she felt that she should also be provided a place to sit down. Thus, she brought a chair herself and sat her patient on it. Another lady doctor writes that she, i.e. Dr. Saiba, felt a great regard for the dignity of the community. She had an unending dedication to Khilafat and used to encourage her colleagues to maintain a personal bond with the Khalifa and to write regularly seeking his prayers. She says that whenever she, i.e. Dr. Nusrat, wrote to the Khalifa requesting prayers for her own matters, she also used to include a prayer request for the rest of us. She says that when Dr. Nusrat Jahan Sahiba used to get a letter from the Khalifa in response to a request for prayers, she would share the letter with all of us. Her delight and joy would be evident in her eyes and her manner of speaking. She continued by saying, "This commitment of Dr. Nusrat Jahan was faith-affirming for all of us. She made a great sacrifice of her worldly comforts and income by dedicating her life in the service of the community. Through her own example, she used to motivate all other doctors to dedicate their lives and serve the community. Working with her meant that one's faith was strengthened on a daily basis, and a desire to dedicate one's life in the service of the community was rekindled." From our press department, Abid Khan Sahib writes and narrates an example of her obedience and bond with Khilafat. Dr. Nusrat Jahan once said to him, that if I hear the opinion of the Khalifa, even if it is not a directive but an opinion, I regard this as an order and try my best to act accordingly. This was the level of loyalty and obedience she demonstrated. Many people have written about her, and it is difficult to mention all of them here. One lady writes, "Once I was going to the Lajna office from my home, which is situated behind the hospital. Dr. Nusrat Jahan was going somewhere else by a car. She inquired where I was going. I explained that I was going for voluntary community work in the Lajna office. At this, Dr. Nusrat Jahan asked the driver to drop me to the Lajna office first, since I was going for voluntary work in service of the community. She told me that she uses the car appointed by the Jamaat strictly for community work. Her daughter, Nudrat Aisha Sahiba, says, "My mother was a model mother and was a personification of love. She used to pray a lot for me and my children. Whenever I faced any difficulty, I used to ring my mom, and then all my worries were taken care of. With the grace of Allah, my difficulties were resolved, and my mother would say to me, 'Now prostrate before Allah in gratitude.' Despite all her time commitments, she invested time and energy in my upbringing and moral training. She was very courageous and had resolved to play the role of both my father and mother in my life. At times, She used to get concerned that she was not giving adequate attention to her daughter, and would say to her daughter that I was unable to give enough time to you because of my commitments. Then she would immediately say that the time spent on the services of humanity is more important, and God Himself will sort the affairs of my daughter. She would always say to me that your maternal grandfather advised his children about two things, to depend on Allah, and the second, to maintain a bond of dedication with Khilafat. I advise you to do the same. Always put your faith in Allah and maintain a strong bond of connection with Khilafat for both yourself and your children. Her daughter writes, Dr. Nusrat Jahan had a very strong bond of commitment and love with Khilafat. When she was taken ill and had to be placed on the ventilator, she would offer her prayers and read the Holy Quran on my mobile. Then she asked for a pen and paper and wrote, carry on writing regularly to the Khalifa for prayers. Her daughter says, I found my mom extremely committed and zealous in serving the community. My mother started her service at the Fazl-e Umar Hospital with a small consultation room, equipped only with a chair and a couch. Her spirit of dedication and prayers granted her first the labor ward and then an independent wing of the gynecology department. Dr. Nusrat Jahan and her team turned this into a successful unit through hard work and commitment. She used to travel personally to Lahore or Faisalabad to buy medical equipment for the unit. She used to take several quotations so that the community funds could be preserved as much as possible. Once her granddaughter Alia visited her in Rabwah for 15 days. Dr. Nusrat Jahan included her in her team for voluntary work in typing, as she had good proficiency in typing. She advised her granddaughter that it is an honor to serve the community, and I wish you to take part in these blessings. She was so dedicated in her work that a smile would brighten her face on hearing the name of her hospital. Even when she was drowsy, she would mutter the names of the companies that make the surgical equipment. This used to astound the English nurses, and they would ask me in surprise about what she is saying. She had complete faith in Allah the Exalted. During her last severe illness, she was not able to speak for a few days. But when a speaking valve was fixed, the first thing she said was to leave it all to Allah. If, when overwhelmed, I ended up crying, she would just point to Allah. May Allah the Exalted give resolve and courage to her only daughter. All the advice that her mother gave her and all the expectations she had of her, may Allah enable the daughter to attain these. May Allah always keep her daughter and her children in His protection. May Allah the Exalted elevate her status. May Allah the Exalted grant the Fazl-e Umar Hospital more doctors who are committed to serving humanity, who are loyal to their work, dedicated to the community, and obedient to Khilafat. May Allah enhance all those doctors who are serving at present as well. I will lead their funeral prayers in absentia after the Friday prayers.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.